Broadcasting in English.
Hello, and welcome to Radio Prague's weekend program with me, Jan Wellinger. Ahead in today's show, we'll be featuring quotes and answering questions in another edition of Mailbox. We have comments from listeners, including a reaction to a government decision to scrap a long-time benefit for coal miners. We'll also reveal this month's mystery person, the man behind the famous character Piero. After that, we'll have Czech Life with Sarah Borufka. She'll be talking to the Dumpling King of Prague. So if you're a fan of dumplings, then be sure to stick around for that. And we'll be rounding out the program with our long-running history program, now in reruns, but with a very dedicated following. I'm talking, of course, about From the Archives. Well, enough of that. Here's Pavla Horáková with Mailbox.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox Radio Prague's program for your questions and comments. So let's get straight to them. David Eldridge from England responded to a recent news story.
It comes as no surprise that the right-wing regime of Petr Nečas cannot resist kicking Czech miners in the teeth. The proposed change is only to protect fat profits of the mine owners. That is the government's motivation. The current subsidy is intended for actual health problems sustained by miners and not dependent on some variable date.
Bo Sundin from Sweden enclosed a photocopy of a letter sent to him by Radio Prague's Swedish section back in the 1950s.
When I was young, I, as many others, had as a hobby DXing. I was not that successful, but for some years it was something to which I paid much attention. One of my favorite stations was Radio Praha. What interests me now, as a historian, is if there still exists any archival evidence of this episode of the Cold War. Does Radio Praha have any archives from the Swedish section? Is it possible that even my card from the end of the 1950s could be found in such an archive?
I'm afraid no archival materials from those decades are kept at Radio Prague. Letters are discarded and scrapped on a regular basis as new ones keep coming in, even in this digital age. Staying with the DXing hobby, listeners in Europe might have noticed that as of November the 12th, our English half hour is broadcast daily from a transmitter in Bulgaria on 7590 kHz in DRM. This scheme will run until the end of January 2012, and we have already received reception reports. Daniel Keller heard us in Germany at 18:30 UTC.
Nice to hear you back on air in Europe on DRM. Reception was generally good, except for some dropouts on my DRM receiver, which is connected to my notebook. I remember you were broadcasting in DRM some months ago from the UK. I think Radio Prague's website is very well designed, and together with your high-quality content, it is a great possibility for people who are interested in news from your country and this region, and your sound check is a very nice idea.
And Patrick Robich heard us in Austria.
As my hobby is listening to remote radio stations, I was very pleased to hear your station, Radio Prague, via Spaceline Bulgaria DRM Mix. I am 34 years old and I have been interested in remote radio stations for 21 years. I hope that this report will also be of interest to you.
Thank you very much for your reception reports and please keep them coming. There is a brand new set of QSL cards ready for 2012, featuring Czech painters and graphic artists. Now let's turn to our monthly quiz and your answers. Hans-Werner Lollicke from Denmark writes,
the person you are looking for is Jean-Gaspard Dubereau, born 1796 in Kolín in Bohemia as Jan Kaspar Dvořák. His family was a wandering troupe of artists who performed and earned their living by traveling from one place to another, just as professional footballers, tennis players, and circus artists do today. He became famous as Piero in the French theater. He became the Piero of the pantomime theater for the future tradition. He died in Paris in 1846.
Li Ming writes from China.
The tradition of mime as an art form has been around since the days of ancient Greek plays. However, it was not until the early 1800s that Jean-Gaspard Dubereau, one of the most celebrated pantomimists, initiated the advent of modern mime art. He then stayed back in France and continued to work on mime to give it a more polished and expressive feel.
Colin Law from New Zealand writes,
by 1840, Devereaux had problems with his health. At times, his problems with breathing led him to skipping a performance, but he refused to retire from the theatre. Sadly, he was injured in a fall through a faulty trapdoor in February 1846, but despite his great pain, he finished that performance. However, he had to stop performing because of his failing health. He decided to perform again on the 16th of June, and his last performance was Pierrot's wedding. He returned home after the performance and died the next morning at 3 a.m., only 49 years old. The next day, in the presence of a large crowd of admirers, he was buried in Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris.
Charles Konecny from the United States wrote,
Devereaux took the art of mime to new levels during his day and made the theatre of pantomime very popular, especially in France. It could be said that he made a living appearing as a character named Pierrot in many or most of his pantomime performances, and how they loved him in France. Although not a fan of pantomime, I can imagine mime acting can be different and hard to master, as a mime has to act out a story through body motions without the use of speech. Whatever one thinks of the profession, Devereaux helped keep the art of pantomime alive, and the names of Charlie Chaplin, Marcel Marceau, and others owe him gratitude. Charades, anyone?
David Eldridge from England wrote,
November's person is Jan-Gaspard Dvořák, or Jean-Gaspard Devereaux, known best for his portrayal of the pantomime character Pierrot. Pierrot was a rather buffoonish person, at the same time not a fool, an incarnation of post-French revolutionary people struggling to secure a place in bourgeois society. How Jan-Gaspard Dvořák portrayed the character is not easy to ascertain now, so long after Dvořák's death. You in the Czech Republic are often considered experts on this art form. You'll need to give us some lessons.
And Jayanta Chakrabarti from India writes,
a child prodigy, Jean-Gaspard Devereaux transformed the very art of pantomime, refining its subject, content, costume and traditions of the plebeian theatre. He gained worldwide fame and popularity and became a national French hero by his outstanding artistic creation of Pierrot in Harlequin the Doctor. His rich legacy is reflected in the modern contemporary theatre popularized by mime artist Marcel Marceau. Devereaux, thus, is the embodiment of Czech theatrical romanticism in the cultural world arena.
Thank you very much for taking part in our little quiz, and congratulations to the winner, who this time is Peter Fredsbo Andersen from Denmark. Your prize will be in the post first thing on Monday. For those of you who weren't lucky this time, here's another chance. In December, we'd like to know the name of the Czech patron saint considered to be the first martyr of the seal of the confessional. Your answers need to reach us by the end of December at english@radio.cz. Thanks for all your feedback, and until next time, take care.
Thank you, Pavla. The name of the station is Radio Prague, and Czech Life with Sara Borovka is next.
Tram and car traffic is heavy on Prague's Dukovský hrdinu street. Not a very inviting location to open a business in the middle of the financial crisis. Yet the 45-year-old cook gone entrepreneur Petr Kosiner has set up his store Lázničkový knedlík here. It is the only brick-and-mortar shop in Prague to sell homemade dumplings. Since it opened 7 months ago, the store and the humble goods it sells have turned out to be so popular that already its owner has a hard time keeping up with the huge demand. Both restaurant professionals and regular people shop here, he says.
At the moment, it's about 50-50. In the beginning, most of my clients were people who lived in the neighborhood and people who happened to walk past the shop. Today, people come here from all over Prague to buy dumplings. Most have the dumplings delivered, but some only stop by when they know they'll need them, say when they're planning to serve svíčková. Then they buy 15 to 20 packages of bread dumplings. We also had a lot of fans at the farmers' markets. Even some TV celebrities bought the dumplings and said, Lázničkový knedlík, that's a really good dumpling. We will keep buying it.
Lázničkový knedlík, tak to je dobrý knedlík, ten budeme kupovat.
Víte mi tři balení.
Tři balení. Tohle to je v podstatě jedna dospělá porce, ten jeden balení.
During the hour that I spent at his shop, Petr Kosiner helped several of his regulars make their selections. Some were disappointed that their favorite variety had already sold out. In fact, the shop is so popular that already there are plans to expand.
On average, I would say that in one day we make 400 to 500 rolls, plus the fruit dumplings, which I count separately because their number varies depending on what fruit we get. At the moment, demand is 3 to 4 times as high as what I manage to produce, which is why I'm moving to a bigger kitchen, my own space.
Která bude hlavně moje.
Making a business out of something as plain and simple as dumplings. This idea first occurred to Kosiner a few years ago when he was the chef at a restaurant in the center of Prague. Was it daunting to trade his secure full-time job for the uncertain future of an entrepreneur?
Já jsem samozřejmě nešel úplně naslepo do toho, protože ty knedlíky, které
Of course, I didn't go into this blindly. I was making dumplings for the restaurant where I was working, and I found out that I was one of the few chefs who still does that. Most of the cooks today do not have the time or capacity, and many don't even know how to make a good dumpling. So I was making my dumplings and getting a lot of compliments on them, and I was already thinking it could be a good business idea, but only in the back of my head. Then I offered some samples to two butcher shops from where we got our meat, and they were really impressed. They said, you should think about making a business out of this, because these are really good dumplings. And if you manage to keep the price low, then you would be probably very successful.
When he finally decided to take the leap and start his own business, Kosiner put together the startup investment from savings and loans from friends and tried to convince restaurant owners of his product by handing out free samples. Although today he supplies such well-known traditional Prague restaurants as U Vejvodu and U Švejka, it was not easy to break into the market. In the process of trying to win business, Kosiner even encountered corruption. When he approached the manager of a large canteen, the potential client opened a money box and said, "We need 3,000 rolls of dumplings a week. That's a lot. It's up to you." Bribes, backstabbing, and bad-mouthing, the business can be very cutthroat.
The competition is huge, even bigger than in other areas of the food business. The main players on the market manage to push down the prices, so it's hard to keep up. For most people, the price is still the deciding factor, even though that is slowly changing. I think I was able to combine the two, good quality at a fair price, but I made some enemies. Some 2 months after I opened, when I had also started to sell my products to butcher shops and canteens, the food and hygiene inspection came here. The company that had delivered dumplings to one of my customers for 7 years was angry that their client switched to me, and so they tried to get me in trouble.
A poslali na mě kontrolu.
Needless to say, he passed the inspection with flying colors. Kosiner says that now dumplings have taken over his life. But the successful entrepreneur is really a jack of all trades. Before his own business took off, he worked as a waiter at Prague's Hotel International, in an electronics factory in Germany, taught children to play guitar, and even turned to carpentry for a while. Dumplings first entered his life during his time as a cook for the army. But churning out 1,000 dumplings and goulash for a group of hungry men is very different from what he does now, says Kosiner. Still, his hectic schedule is almost as regimented as a soldier's.
Ráno vstávám jakdy, někdy je to v 5 hodin, někdy v 6.
I get up at 5 or 6 in the morning. First, I have to deliver my dumplings all over town, which I do myself. For a while, a friend was helping out, but now I'm waiting until I have my own kitchen, and then I will see if I can't find someone to deliver them for me. So I still do that on my own until about lunch. The store opens in the morning. After my delivery runs, I get the ingredients I need to make dumplings, flour, bread rolls, etc. And then I make them in the afternoon from about 2 or 3 until 7, 8, 9 or 10 in the evening, depending on demand. So my workday ends around 10 every night, and then I go to bed at midnight.
Každý den pro mě končí pracovní až tak 10 a po půlnoci se dostanu do postele.
Currently, Lázničkový knedlík offers bread and potato dumplings, herb dumplings, as well as potato dumplings filled with smoked meat and sweet ones with seasonal fruit. But regardless of the variety, there are some very specific demands a good dumpling has to meet.
Tak, dobrý knedlík se nesmí drobit.
A good dumpling should not fall apart. It should retain its texture, and it has to have a pleasant smell. You shouldn't be able to smell the yeast. That is very important. You don't want the dumpling to dominate over the taste of the meat in the sauce. It has to keep its shape on the steam tray for a few hours so that it doesn't fall apart or get lost in the sauce. If it does that, you have a good bread dumpling. And of course, it needs to be made with a good amount of bread rolls, which is not always the case. Often you buy these bread roll dumplings, and when you cut them in half, you realize there are no bread rolls in the dough.
Od konkurence a rozkrojte ho a tam není houska žádná.
In the future, Petr Kosiner is planning to further expand his range. Even gluten-free dumplings might soon be on sale. For now, the master dumpling maker is moving into a bigger kitchen and looking for a business partner so that he can finally meet Prague's feverish demand for one of the most beloved Czech foods.
Best of luck to Petr Kosiner with future plans. It should be interesting to see how that develops. Well, we hope that you're enjoying your weekend so far. If you're just relaxing at home and lazing the day away, perhaps looking for something to do besides listening to the radio, be sure to also look us up on the internet. The address is www.radio.cz. You'll find much more news from the Czech Republic, including features, everything from the arts to culture to politics and, of course, science. So do look us up on the web. That's radio.cz. While you're there, you might also want to sign up for your free daily email if you're interested in getting the latest news from the Czech Republic. The email is free, as I said there. And finally, there's also discussion taking part or that you can take part in on these social networks, specifically Facebook and even on Twitter. So if you like the Czech Republic and you like Radio Prague programming, we've got a lot of things lined up for you there. Now it's time for David Vaughan and the long-running history series From the Archives.
When Joseph Stalin died on March 5, 1953, it sent shockwaves around the world. In Czechoslovakia, his personality cult had been almost as overwhelming as in the Soviet Union itself. At the time of his death, work was already well underway to build the biggest statue of the Soviet dictator in the world, unveiled 2 years later in Letnar Park. Stalin had a close ally and kindred spirit in the Czechoslovak president, Klement Gottwald, and Gottwald ignored warnings from his doctors in order to attend his friend and protector's funeral. Before leading the Czechoslovak delegation to Moscow, he had a few words for his country's citizens.
Myslím, že tam v Moskvě před mauzoleem Lenina.
I believe that when we stand in front of Lenin's mausoleum, now Lenin and Stalin's mausoleum in Moscow, we shall be able to make a confident promise to these two greatest geniuses of humanity, in the name of all the people of Czechoslovakia, that we shall follow to the end the path which they have shown us, and under the banner of Stalin and Lenin, we shall strive onwards towards the goal of socialism. Stalin's funeral itself was a huge event, which citizens of countries throughout the communist bloc were able to see in their millions through a film that was shown at cinemas.
Дорогие товарищи, горестная весть сжимает сердца миллионов людей. На устах у всех одно слово – Сталин.
President Gottwald himself was to survive the man to whom he owed his career by just 9 days, dying of a burst artery on March the 14th, 1953. This had probably been brought on by the stress of the trip to Moscow. Once again, it was a time of pomp and ceremony, with Czechoslovak radio's Antonín Zib providing a commentary to the huge state funeral in melodramatic style.
Rakev s tělem Klementa Gottwalda míjí budovu ústředního výboru komunistické strany.
The coffin with the body of Klement Gottwald is being carried past the building of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia, shrouded in the black of mourning. The party says farewell to its dearest comrade. It was Klement Gottwald who built and consolidated a party of a new Leninist-Stalinist type. Klement Gottwald has not died because the party lives on. The great fraternal Soviet Union is with us, our powerful shield and support.
Naše mocná záštita a opora.
In an atmosphere that echoed Stalin's funeral, the Deputy Prime Minister Zdeněk Nejedlý described the scenes of public mourning as the coffin was borne through the city's streets.
A těch květů, věnců i kytic, co mu přinesli.
They brought him so many flowers, wreaths and bouquets. The courtyard of Prague Castle, the bridge to the castle, even down in the city, all around the front steps of the National Museum, a flood of flowers, such as we had never before seen in this country. With the deaths of Stalin and Gottwald, the darkest episode in Czechoslovakia's post-war history came slowly to an end, perhaps most symbolically in 1961, when the 22-meter-high statue of Stalin that towered above Prague was dismantled, with the help of nearly a ton of explosives.
Our series From the Archives, brought to you there by David Vaughan. That takes us just about to the end of today's show, but a quick reminder, if you'd like to comment or have any questions for us on anything you've heard in today's show, don't forget it's easy to contact us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz, or you can write to our street address, Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. We're always happy to hear from our listeners. And as always, some of your comments or questions may even make it onto the air, so do drop us a line. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, thank you so much for joining us this day, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. We have a bit more music for you now from Leoš Janáček. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Vous écoutez Radio Prague,